We're probably, Lord willing, going to be in 2 Corinthians for a bit. We went through 1 Corinthians. It's probably been several years ago now, probably 6 or 7 years ago, I would say. If you care to go back and listen to that series, it's on the church website along with the rest of the sermons from the last 10 years. There's one for 1 Corinthians. But we didn't cover 2 Corinthians at the time, and so probably going to hang out in here for a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, let's pray, and then we'll get started. God, we come to you, we thank you for the freedom we have to come into your house tonight. I thank you for being good to us. I thank you for the love that you've shown us and the love that we have for one another. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just guide me to say the words that you want us to hear tonight, that we would see your word, that we would be comforted by it, dear Lord. And I pray that you free us from the worries and the distractions of this world, and that you would help us to focus on you and hear from you now. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.
Amen.
If you go back and read in the book of Acts, and particularly in this case around Acts chapter 18, you're going to see some of these journeys that Paul was on along the way. And you're going to see some of the places that we talk about from Paul's letters. You're going to see places like Corinth or places like Ephesus. These are some of the places that he wrote letters to. And when you go back and look at Acts, you're going to see some of these places. In Acts chapter 18, you're going to see that Paul goes to a place called Corinth. And there he meets a man and a woman by the name of Aquila and Priscilla, and they're tent makers, and he too is a tent maker, and they become friends and sharing the gospel and doing the work of the Lord, and he meets them in Corinth. And so the places that we see Paul visit and maybe revisit some of them going back and forth between them throughout the book of Acts are some of these people that receive letters. That is, Paul went and saw them. He went on his way, and he would hear what was going on, and he would write a letter to maybe correct them of some things that was not going so good, or maybe encourage them, maybe say, hey, you're doing a good job, as in the case of the people of Philippi. The book of Philippians is a pretty encouraging book. Some of them are kind of stern. You may remember, if you've ever read 1 Corinthians, that it's a few things in there he gets on them about, that they're not doing too good. And so he wrote this letter after he had left 1 Corinthians. After he had left Corinth, he wrote 1 Corinthians back to him. And then probably about a year or year and a half after he wrote the letter that we know as 1 Corinthians, he wrote another letter to the people of Corinth, and that's what we know as 2 Corinthians. Now, it's possible that he wrote more letters. Some have suggested that he might have wrote as many as 4 letters to the people of Corinth. These are the only two that we have, but he kind of picks up and maybe even addresses a few things that he talked about in the first letter, but kind of carrying on with the same idea here as we get into 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Timothy, our brother, to the church at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Acacia. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have a pretty typical introduction here, similar to what we see in Paul's other writings. He's saying, look, I am Paul, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I'm the one who's sending you this letter. We see in this particular letter that he's talking about Timothy, who must have been there alongside of him. We know of Timothy from the letters that he wrote to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy. We see Timothy mentioned in some of Paul's journeys. We see him mentioned here. When he wrote the letter the first time, what we know as 1 Corinthians, and there was a guy with him named Sosthenes. That was who was with him in the introduction of 1 Corinthians. And here, this year, year and a half later, ever how long it was, we see that it's Timothy that is with him. And he talks about Achaia. He talks about this is the region, the whole region around where Corinth is. And this is around Greece. If you're familiar with geography and where Greece is on the map, this is kind of the region the area that we're talking about. And Corinth was probably a pretty well-to-do place at that time, and probably a pretty large place. They probably had a pretty big population. But Paul is writing this letter again to the people of Corinth. He's acknowledging that he is the one who is writing it. He's acknowledging that Timothy is there with him. And he opens this letter with just some beautiful language. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he proceeds to go on about his letter. And that's where we start in verse 3. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, and the God of all comfort. Now that is a beautiful verse right there. That verse alone, you could just kind of sit up there for a second and just kind of soak that in. That God, we praise God, He's our Savior, there's salvation that comes through Him. And what does it say? It says that He is the God of all comfort. And that's good to know. Because there are times that we need to be comforted. There are times where life is just hard and we just need some comfort. And He is the God of all comfort. There is no comfort that comes from anyone except from God. Any comfort that we feel, even if people don't realize it, if it's good, if it's comforting, if it brings you peace, then it must come from God, because there is no peace, there is no mercy, there is no comfort in any other. And Paul starts right off here by saying, we praise God because He is the God of all comfort. And then he continues to build this first section of the letter based on that idea. He says in verse 4, He comforts us in all our affliction. Now that's a good verse. He is the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our affliction. Now we need to maybe remember this verse, because there are days that we are afflicted. Now, whatever that affliction may be, maybe it's just stress, maybe it's physical pain, maybe it's just a mental battle that you're going through, whatever it is, there are afflictions that come upon us. There are afflictions that we face. And it doesn't matter if you are young and old, there are times in our life that we are afflicted. But we call on the God who is the God of all comfort. And what does it say? That He comforts us in our afflictions. Well, that's good to know, because there are days that, man, our afflictions are pretty rough, and that's what he's going to talk about. So praise God that He is our comforter. He comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Now, isn't that a beautiful idea? This is kind of the idea of Scripture. What we receive from God, we give back to others. We let what we've received from God be seen through us by other people. So when we experience the love of God and the grace of God, then that should flow from us. When we've experienced comfort through God, then that helps us to be able to comfort others. Because there are people in this world and they don't know how they're going to make it through the next night or the next day. They don't know if they can make it any further. They're seeking and they're searching and they want some kind of comfort. And some of you in this room, or maybe somebody listening online, has been there before where you didn't think you were going to make it through the night. You didn't think that you were going to make it through the week. You didn't think that there was any light at the end of the tunnel. You didn't think that there was any comfort for your pain and your affliction, and you found God. You found the God of all comfort, and you called out to the God of all comfort, and He comforted you and your afflictions. And Paul says, when you've experienced that, then you need to go out there and help other people. You need to find those people in the world that are struggling, who are afflicted, who are in pain, who are in discomfort, and you need to say, look, I have been where you are. I have been where you are, and let me tell you about God. I don't know if you know about God. I don't know if you know the Scripture, Maybe you don't think God's there. God doesn't care. But let me tell you about God, that He brought me comfort, that He showed me light, that He showed me love, that He was merciful, that He was gracious. And I served the God of all comfort, and He helped me, and I got through it. And I didn't think I was. And I know you don't think you're going to get through this death you're suffering, or this pain you're suffering, or this affliction you're suffering. But I want to tell you that I got through it, and God can help you get through it, and I want to walk with you along the way. And Paul says that we have been comforted by the God of all comfort. And when we have received that comfort, we are called to comfort others. Now that's a good message. That's kind of the message of Scripture, whether it's comforting or whether it's grace or whether it's mercy. Whatever we have received from God, God calls us to give that back to those that we encounter. Verse 5, "For as the suffering of Christ overflowed to us, so through Christ our comfort also overflows." All right, so Christ suffered, the sufferings of Christ overflowed to us, so through Christ our comfort also overflows. So even in the midst of this difficulty, we reflect on Jesus Christ and we can find some comfort in the fact of who He is and what He has done. And in the midst of His suffering, He continued to be faithful to God. He continued to be on His mission. And there's comfort to be found in that, that we serve a Savior who's given us an example, who's let us know that there is going to be suffering for serving God, but there is comfort on the other side of that suffering. Verse 6, "If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is experienced in your endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer." So what does he say? Paul says, look, if we're afflicted, it's for your comfort. That is to say, we are serving you. We are doing the work of God. We are trying to stand up for you. We are trying to lead you. And we are facing all kind of persecution. And we are facing all kind of affliction. But we are doing it for you, so that you may find some comfort in Christ. And so if we are afflicted, we are doing it for you, so that you may hear of Jesus Christ, so that you may receive salvation, so that through our affliction, you may receive comfort. And so it is, Paul says, that we receive comfort. Even when we are afflicted, we receive comfort because we know that you are coming to Jesus Christ, and we find comfort in that. Isn't that that's a crazy thing right there? Because you see that even today. Now, you might not be aware of it. You need to be aware of it. You need to look up some people sometimes. There's still people today, Christians, who are suffering for the kingdom of God, who are facing persecution, who are facing being put in prison, who are facing death, who sometimes are killed, who are in prison right now doing the work of God and suffering greatly. And why in the world would they do that? Because they receive some comfort knowing that they have done the work of the Lord. They receive comfort knowing that in what they have done that has got them in prison, that has gotten them persecuted, may have brought someone else to Jesus Christ. And so inside that jail cell, as Paul was on occasion, he received comfort knowing that outside of those walls, the gospel was still being spread. That he had done some work, that he had went to people who were struggling and afflicted, and he had told them about Jesus Christ, and they had found comfort in Jesus Christ, and it cost him his freedom. And oftentimes we see of Christians that it cost them their life, but even in that affliction, they find comfort because they know that others are finding comfort in Christ. So when we are afflicted, we find comfort. And when we are comforted, Paul says, we find comfort because we know that in your affliction, you find comfort. It's just this cycle. Paul says, I pour into you, it brings me affliction, which brings me comfort, which brings me more comfort because you're afflicted, which brings you comfort. Which brings you comfort in us because we're doing the work. It's this cycle of brothers and sisters in Christ working together and saying, living for the Lord is not always easy, but it's always worth it. There's great peace that comes from that. It's scary. You know, you're thinking about, man, I don't know if I want to do the work of the Lord. I don't know if I want to put myself out there. What if I'm persecuted? What if somebody comes against me? What if I'm in prison? Would I be able to handle it? Well, I don't know, but I think we would. I think if we do it with the right heart, I think that we would be those who would say, God, it is worth it. There's comfort even in the midst of the affliction. We find comfort in Jesus Christ, knowing that we have led others to Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul is saying to the people of Corinth here. And our hope for you, verse 7, and our hope for you is firm, because we know that as you share in the sufferings, you will also share in the comfort. So Paul says, hold on. I know that you're going to do good. I know that you're sharing in the sufferings right now. But what does he say? So you will also share in the comfort. Even though life is difficult, even though there is affliction, if we continue to seek God and call out to Him and serve Him, we will find the God of all comfort, and there will be comfort in our life. And Paul says there is great hope in that. We find hope in that in our life, and we find hope knowing that you are, even in the midst of suffering, finding comfort in Jesus Christ. Verse 8, for we don't want you to be unaware, brothers, of our affliction that took place in Asia. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we even despaired of life. Now, obviously, something pretty serious had happened to Paul and some others who were with him in Asia. I don't know what event this was. I'm not sure if it's even in Scripture. Maybe it is. I don't know. But whatever the event is, he doesn't go into it here. But what does he say? He says, look, our affliction took place in Asia. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we even despaired of life. Have you ever been in that type of affliction before? Whatever brought it on. Maybe it was because you took a stand for the Lord. Maybe it's just some life circumstance, some death that you've encountered in your life. Whatever it is, there's all kinds of things that bring affliction to us. Have we ever been in a state in our life where we felt completely overwhelmed beyond our strength? That's a tough place to be. That is a scary place to be, because we realize that we are helpless. We feel overwhelmed beyond our strength. That whatever is before us, that whatever we are up against, it is too big. It is just too overwhelming. We don't think we can make it. We do not have the strength to carry on. We have been fighting, and we have been walking, and we have been walking, and we have been on the road and on the journey for days and for weeks and for months sometimes. And there are times that we feel like we cannot keep going. We are so overwhelmed. What are we going to do? Paul says, look, we even despaired of life. We knew the end was near. We knew that we have nothing else to give. We knew that we had done all we could do. We were completely overwhelmed. We were completely drained. And we knew that death was soon going to come to us. He continues on in verse 9. Indeed, we personally had a death sentence within ourselves, so that we could not trust in ourselves, but trust in God who raises the dead. Isn't that something right there? He says, we had given all we could give. We had nothing else we could do. We had given up. We had given in to death. But in that, we trusted God all the more, because we knew that God could raise us to life. So even in the midst of our affliction, even in the midst of our overwhelming circumstances, even when death is at our door, we trust in God all the more, because who else can we trust in? And that's where we need to be in those seasons of despair in our life. Maybe there are some of you tonight that feel overwhelmed. You don't have any strength. There is nowhere else you can go but to the Lord. That's it. That's the only place you can go tonight. That's the only one that can give you strength. That's the only one that can deliver you from your situation. And should He choose not to deliver you in this life, Paul says we trust Him all the more, because even if we're at death's door here in our affliction, we know we will wake up in the presence of God, and so we trust God all the more. We find comfort in our affliction, and if our affliction ends in death, then so be it. It'll end in the presence of God. Now, Paul was, he was ready. He was strong in the faith. He didn't give up at persecution. He didn't give up at affliction. We might be tempted to. There may be times in our life that the least little affliction comes. We get overwhelmed. We start questioning God. We get angry with God. We want to give up on God. Sometimes people get that way. But not Paul. Paul says, I'm in it for the long haul. Paul said, I serve and I praise the God of all comfort. And I take comfort in knowing that God is with me. And I want you to take comfort in God, even in the worst situation, even in the situations that end in death. Trust in God all the more because He is the only deliverance that we have. This is good advice for us. And we know what affliction's like. Everybody in here, you know what affliction's like. You've experienced it. You may be experiencing it now. I can tell you the same thing that Paul told you, and that's all I can tell you, is to trust in God all the more. I don't know what the outcome of the situation will be, but I can assure you that God is the one who's in control of the situation. And whatever occurs will be His will, and He will be with you through it all. Verse 10, He has delivered us from such a terrible death, and He will deliver us. We have put our hope in Him that He will deliver us again while you join in helping us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gift that came to us through the prayers of many. So here Paul says, look, we thought we were going to die. We thought it was the end. We thought our affliction was going to get the better of us. But what does he say in verse 10? He has delivered us from such a terrible death, and He will deliver us. So whatever this affliction was that Paul and those with him would have encountered in Asia, he thought the end was near, but he says, I praise God because He delivered us, and He will continue to deliver us, both in this life and from this life and to eternity with Him. God has been with us. And then he says in verse 11, while you join in helping us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gift that came to us through the prayers of many. Now, some of your translations, mine says the gift that came to us. Some may say something like the graciousness that we've received. That's probably the gift that he's talking about here. He's probably talking about this gift of grace that God had showed him. We'll see in a few chapters that Paul calls out to God because there's this thorn in the flesh. And Paul calls out to Him to remove it, And God doesn't remove it, but He says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. So even in our afflictions, if God doesn't remove them, His grace is sufficient to get us through. And what does Paul say? He says, this gift, this grace that came to us through the prayers of many. This is important for us to know. Okay, so we serve the God who is the God of all comfort. We want to comfort others when we have been comforted through God. But in the midst of our affliction, what is important? It's important to know that there are others who are praying for us. It's important that we are praying for other people. And Paul acknowledges that. He says, look, we were at death's door. We thought it was done. We were trusting in God to take us home to be with Him. But instead, He delivered us. He was gracious to us through the prayers of many. Now, maybe there are some of you tonight that need prayers. Maybe there's something you're going through and nobody else even knows it. Find a brother or sister in Christ you can trust and say, look, brother, look, sister, I need you to pray for me. There's power in those prayers. You can say the same words Paul said. I feel overwhelmed and the situation I'm up against is beyond my strength. Would you pray for me? Would you pray that God would be gracious to me and be merciful to me? There is power in knowing that there are people who pray for you. Maybe you're doing pretty good, praise the Lord. Maybe you're living in that comfort and grace right now. That's great. But maybe there are others you know that aren't doing so good. Maybe you know of some who have affliction and suffering and pain. Maybe you know of some tonight that are overwhelmed beyond their strength. And maybe today and tomorrow and in the days to come, you just need to pray for them. You need to pray that God would give them grace, that God would give them strength, that God would give them comfort. You might just need to go see them and give them a hug. Sit down with them and say, I'm praying for you. If there's something I can do, I'm praying for you. Just continue to trust in God. It'd be great if we could give people all the answers to their problem. We don't want to make no fake promises. We don't want to say, oh, God's going to get you. We don't know what God's going to do. It may be God's will to deliver them from their affliction. It may not. We want God's will to be done. We don't want to make promises that we don't know the will of God. But we can tell people, look, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God would be gracious to you and give you comfort. Maybe even share this scripture with them. That we praise the God of all comfort that comforts those who are in affliction. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage for us, I believe, to learn from, to find comfort from, and to be able to comfort others from. Let's pray. God, we come to you. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for being the God of all comfort, dear Lord, because we know what affliction is, dear Lord. Some know it better than others. But God, if there are any that are listening tonight online or any that are in this building tonight, God, that are experiencing affliction, whatever it may be, I pray that they would seek you and that they would find comfort in you, dear Lord. That maybe there are some tonight who feel overwhelmed and their affliction is stronger beyond their strength, dear Lord, more than they can bear. I pray, God, that you would be gracious to them. I pray that you'd give them deliverance. I pray that you'd give them peace. I pray that you'd give them clarity. I pray that you'd give them hope, dear Lord, that they would not despair. God, we don't know what you're going to do, how you're going to answer prayers. We don't know, dear Lord, but we pray your will be done. And whatever the outcome of our afflictions are, dear Lord, we pray that you'd give us comfort and grace in the midst of them. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.